G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Line season 2016, previewing round 6. The boys made a bit of ground in round 5. Trends now visible for all to see and form lines are set. Time to start making some money, big fella.
Well, one of us made ground last week. certainly those trends that I've been sticking with for the last 4 or 5 years continuing to not do me much good. So far, collectively, they would be 16 and 29 this season if I bet a lot of them. So at 12-14, I can kind of live with that, but they are trends for a reason. These wheels eventually turn, and I think in due course we'll find our way back.
This is the ongoing battle between the stats dork and the footy dork.
Yep.
Like, it's football changes and it evolves, and sooner or later your stats are no good to you, big fella. So we'll just keep punching on, and at the end of the day, who cares if anyone's listening? We're having fun getting it done between us. So.
Absolutely.
I think it's. I think we might have split the points probably 3-all since we started doing this caper across the journey, so this one might be the decider.
Absolutely. And we kick things off on Friday night at the Docklands with North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. Kangaroos laying about half a goal, total points line mid-190s.
Well, as advertised last week, North Melbourne stretched the defence of the opposition too much with their big three, and I think that's going to happen again this week. I can't see where they get stopped forward of centre. And their midfield's playing really well at the moment. They're matching it with anyone they come across. They've got a good balance of inside and outside midfielders, plenty of run to go with. And their backline, whilst probably undersized, stands up. So I really like the way North Melbourne are going about their football. They seem to have a genuine belief within their group at the moment that they can get it done under any circumstances. So I think a small minus is very juicy, and I'm going to be playing that.
Yeah, I got near that. I found myself with no bet in the end, but North Melbourne on paper, especially with a couple of losses to the Dogs back line, look like the better side. Importantly, though, Dogs have covered 11 of their last 13 as either a small favourite or a small dog, including 6 of their last 7 as a dog of less than 2 goals. Just enough for me to steer out there. North Melbourne high-scoring side. Dogs have been really defensively sound. You know, mid-190s with North Melbourne playing someone else, I'd probably take the over, but the way the Dogs have been playing, that's a little too rich for my liking at this stage.
And the zone defence that the Bulldogs play is reliant on speed and agility and the capacity to get off your man and go and help your teammate. And I don't think we've seen the full damage of losing first Murphy, then Johannesson, and now most likely Suckling, who's bugger all chance of playing this week, is my understanding. So sooner or later, something's going to give, and I can see North Melbourne putting a bit of a number on them this week in a bit of a reality check. But hey, look, I'm always happy to be beaten down by North, because that usually happens at some point. But whilst the train is rolling,
they're against the good side, which always helps with North. They do tend to aim up against the good opponents.
Beautiful.
We move to Saturday afternoon, and we're back at the Docklands for Melbourne and St Kilda. The D's laying about a goal and a half, total points line around mid-180s.
Yeah, look, at first glance, I actually liked Melbourne at the minus in this game. They've been playing really solid football. Again, they're a team that have got some genuine belief after not having had that for the better part of a decade. So it's good to see, and good for their fans. St Kilda are playing good football as well. Melbourne, they've got that stinker in them. So, you know, against what you could notionally say are worse credentialed sides, you're probably potential there for Foot to come off the gas a little bit. I'm not sure that they will allow that to happen twice in a month, but I like the over in this game. Both sides have the capacity to score heavily. Melbourne have been kicking 100 points for fun in recent times, and St Kilda can do the same. So I think a mid-180s line is no fair for these guys. I reckon they'll go after it and play a good, expansive, free-flowing game of footy and get stuck in and put a number on the board for the fans.
Yeah, I got close to the over here. I couldn't quite take it in the end, mainly because it's another one of these bloody afternoon games, so they're every chance to leave the roof open. Melbourne on paper, the minus looks like the play. You've got to remember that only 2 weeks ago, St Kilda took Hawthorn right to the brink. Mm. And if Melbourne are a step short and St Kilda are on, 10.5 would be too many.
Yeah.
So enough for me to sit this one out. Second of the Saturday afternoon games, we're at the Adelaide Oval for the Crows hosting Fremantle. Now, this line was -22.5, 10 minutes before the opening bounce on Friday night, and I'm absolutely filthy that I didn't step into the Crows minus then, because they are now laying 8 goals. Total points line high 180s.
Well, you can get the best number on the board I found was 52.5, so it's just shy of 9 goals, yeah. and that's gone out from 47.5 3 hours ago. So money's still pouring in for Adelaide at the minus. It's almost getting to the point where it's ridiculous, and you've got to say, surely Fremantle are a better side than that, and they won't allow it to happen. But 0-5 against a good team that wants to score, can score. Yeah, look, anything can happen. I was really close to taking the points in this game, but I just don't trust the way Ross Lyon's team is playing at the moment. I don't think that they believe in the style of football they're being asked to play. I don't think they have the cattle to play the style of football that he wants them to play. And Adelaide's defence is a pretty sound unit. I just don't know where Fremantle will get any sort of score from. So if Adelaide kick 100 points, they probably do cover this line. And they're another team that's been doing that for fun. So yeah. I'll not be getting involved in this one, mate.
Yeah, I've got a bet here. I'm with the over. Crows, 18 out of their last 23 that have gone over in day matches. Fremantle, 7 out of their last 10 over as interstate underdogs. They let the Gold Coast score 120 on them. They're defensively pretty shot, I think.
So you're basically tipping Adelaide to kick 140 points.
Yeah, I can't convince myself to take the minus because I'm filthy. I missed the opening line, but there's no way I want to go anywhere near the plus.
Yeah, fair.
I think Adelaide rack up a number here. 120 to 70 would get the job done, and frankly, if Fremantle keep Adelaide to 120, they've probably done all right.
Yeah, the way they're going.
So happy to be with the overs here and cheer on a pretty fun side to watch at the moment.
Good on you, mate. Opening your account for the week, that's a go. That's the spirit.
Saturday twilight, and we're up at Spotless Stadium in Sydney for the Giants hosting Hawthorn. Giants getting 2 goals or a fraction under, total points line around the mid-180s.
It's about a third of what they were getting last year when they in the same game where they got past the Hawks. So, they're playing in a very exciting brand of football at the moment. They've got a lot of talent. I mean, you look at a guy like Toby Green, who is arguably not in their best 22, had 35 touches and kicked 4, probably should have kicked 6 on the weekend playing on a half-forward flank. So they've got a lot of blokes that can bob up and really make a difference in a game of football. Hawthorn are getting it done, but probably by their own admission are only just going at the moment, which I guess is probably a scary thing for the rest of the competition, that if they ever get their act together, there could be some carnage. Look,
they're timing their run.
Yeah.
September's about the right time.
in week 3, you start timing your run. But, nothing really to get excited about for me for this one other than another Hawthorn win, which is, that's going to happen. So just get around the boys.
Yeah, I couldn't find one here. On face value, 12.5 at home's worth a fair bit if you think about what that would mean. What that would be worth as a line for a game down in Melbourne, but
gee, the Hawks, if Hawthorn wear the Power Rangers kit, then I'm not even going to watch that. Bullshit.
The Hawks keep winning games, and Hawthorn by 1-12 doesn't leave you a lot of space there, so I'm pretty happy to let this one go.
We
move on to Saturday night, and we're at Cadinia Park for Geelong and the Gold Coast. Cats laying about 6.5 goals, total points line around the 180 mark.
I like the over.
So do I.
I really like the over in this game. Gold Coast have been getting it done. Like I think the 3-2, probably a bit stiff to be at 3-2 at the moment. I think they've let at least one get away from them, I think. But look, the Cats are a really good football team. I don't see like out and out shut down defensive structures in the way either of these teams play. They back themselves to kick a score. Whether the Malcolm Blight influence still stems through on the Geelong style of football, it's still there on the Gold Coast style of football.
Here's a fun fact. 6 times head-to-head, never less than 194.
Well, there you go. That's good. Well, and I guess a couple of those games where Geelong might have scored 180 of them, but
Only one of them. The Gold Coast won a game and it was 196 total. There were less than 2 kicks in it last time and they cracked 200.
Mate, I really like the over in this game. Yeah. I think it's immoral. Unless there's some sort of hurricane in Geelong this weekend, I can't see any reason why it wouldn't get over that line.
Yeah, I'm happy to step into it too. And the line itself, pretty hard to get involved with. Geelong is the superior side, adding in home field. I thought maybe it was a fraction big. Yeah. I thought five and a half goals, probably closer to the mark.
Yeah, I thought so as well.
But in a high scoring game, it can get five goals can turn into seven goals really quickly.
Well, and just just the way that they can transition the ball these days, like it's, you know, a team could pull up stumps through, you know, 4 minutes from time, three goals behind, and get four kicked on them. Like it just, it can change so quickly. So I think the total is the safer bet.
Yes, agreed. So the over for both of us there. Second of the Saturday night games, and we're at the MCG for Richmond and Port Adelaide. Well, basket cases, both of them, I would have thought. Tigers laying a couple of points, total points line low 180s.
Yeah, look, it's, you are correct, both basket cases. I mean, Port have been thrown under the bus by their president, and the players are in revolt, depending on who you turn to and or who you talk to. And Richmond, unfortunately, are just, they're a rabble at the moment. Yep. They don't seem to have consistency of effort from quarter to quarter, let alone from a full game. And it's, it's either you break it down further and they seem to have half a dozen blokes that are having a red hot crack and another 15, 16 blokes that just don't want to be there every week. And it's, with Rance out of that unit, I just don't see how they stop Port Adelaide scoring. And it doesn't, like, I mean, Rance could play on Wingard, or he could play on Schultz, or he could play on Dixon, whoever it might be. With him out of their team, they're really, really skinny down back.
I know.
I think Asprey came in last week and he's under a cloud as well. So they could very well, Chris Parkinson might be playing in back line for them this week. That's how good they're going at the minute. Melbourne, in Melbourne, you'd probably say they're a chance, but I just think Port have probably got more capacity to actually respond to the criticism they have at the moment. I think Port have more upside in the way they're playing their football than Richmond do. And with no Rance involved, I'm happy to take Port at the plus.
Yeah, I couldn't get either, near either of these sides. Trend-wise, both sides actually trend pretty well to the under, particularly in games in the winter, but neither side can defend. They keep getting triple figures put on them. And I'm not convinced either side's actually capable of kicking a terribly high score, but when you've got blokes who don't defend, then you're just doing circle work.
Well, the only rationale that you could make for a margin bet or a totals bet this week is that with Rance out, Richmond have to kick a score to win. So they have to go in with the mentality that we have to plan at all costs, we have to take the game on, and we have to trust that Rewalt and these guys are going to be able to put a number on the board for us that is going to be bigger than whatever they can bring together.
And given that Port don't seem terribly interested in defending themselves,
it does make a case. It certainly makes a case for the over.
Yeah.
But I Richmond just aren't getting it done for me, and I don't see them in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Port win by 4 or 5 goals.
Just damning of Richmond, given how bad Port are going at the moment.
It is, isn't it? And, you know, like, there's Richmond are,
they were pretty lucky to get within 6 goals of Melbourne in the end.
But if you put a line through the competition right now, and you say, okay, if form doesn't always hold for long periods of time, but form only changes if you have the capacity to actually make those changes and implement those changes. And if you would actually make a hard call now, you'd say that Richmond and Fremantle will end this season in the bottom four. And that's with Richmond and Carlton. Because they're not going better than any of the teams that are currently above them. And they don't seem to have the capacity to improve. There's, like, Fremantle have had pretty much their best team in every week, barring a few injuries to here and there. But the games they've been losing, they should be winning without that. And Richmond the same. Like, Richmond haven't had their full unit either, but two bodies doesn't make a difference to attitude and the way you go about your football. And they need a paradigm shift in their football lives to actually turn this around. And I just don't see where that comes from.
So we move, hopefully fairly swiftly, given that we don't particularly want to watch that game, to Sunday afternoon. And we've got Brisbane and Sydney at the Gabba. Lions getting a little over 6 goals. Total points line, mid to high 180s.
Didn't even look at it. Not interested.
Not a lot to see here. Trends, Sydney got a little bit of a trend to the under, but Brisbane can't defend. Not much here.
No, Sydney will win comfortably, but
they'll do enough, but
Brisbane at home always put on a bit of a show, there'll be a lot of junk time
late in the game.
Yeah, there's enough rubbish going on there to not get involved with anything and just let it go.
Speaking of rubbish,
Find something better to do. Go and water the garden. Do something else.
You may as well stay out there because the next game at the MCG is Carlton Essendon. Blues laying 3 goals, total points line low 170s.
I'm so glad I'm going to see a band on Sunday. I'm going to see Mustard Courage at the Old Canberra Inn on Sunday afternoon. And could not, Nick and the boys from Mustard Courage, I know you're listening out there, could not have picked a better weekend to come to Canberra. So I don't have to watch back to back the two worst games of football we'll see all year. Carlton, Essendon, go to buggery. I'm not even going to look at the score. I don't care what happens. It will be a diabolical game of football.
Yeah, I might check the score afterwards just to see if we jagged another one, but I think that'll be about it.
Oh my goodness.
No, I gave up on the Colt after. Wasn't even a full quarter of the Collingwood game. Started watching the league.
Oh dear.
We've got one more game to go. Sunday twilight. We're over at Subiaco. It's a 2:40 start Perth time. West Coast and Collingwood. The Eagles laying a bit over 6 goals. Total points line around the 190 mark.
Yeah, I couldn't find too much here to get interested about either. Really big line. I expect West Coast to do it pretty comfortably. You might have a look at the minus.
I'm on the minus.
There'll be some junk money coming in from the Collingwood faithful who've turned their season around and now Buckley is the messiah again. But, mate, I've got enough going on this weekend and I don't care about this game.
Happy to have West Coast at the minus here. They stomp bad sides, as a rule. Mm. Covered 13 in their last 14 as home favourites of more than 5 goals. Covered 11 in their last 14 as favourites of more than 5 goals anywhere. 15 of their last 18 has got as favourites more than 3 goals. As you said, you know, if you put a form line through Richmond, Collingwood, Collingwood clearly worse than Melbourne. West Coast dust up bad sides. They beat Richmond by 11 goals. They beat Brisbane by 11 goals. I would have thought that'd be about the line here. It should be a 10-goal line.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you just know that if they get rolling and Collingwood, you beat a reserve grade side last week. Let's not get too excited about this. And you trailed Richmond for most of the game.
They will, though. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, they have. This is great.
The doors are blown off the Westpac Centre. They're out there. Eddie's dancing in the street. It's all happening.
I had this marked as a line that started with a high five, not a high three. So pretty happy to step into 38.5 here.
Good call.
So that gives me a total of 3 this week. I've got the overs in the Adelaide Freo game, overs in Geelong Gold Coast, and Eagles at the minus.
I've got a lazy 4. I've got North at the minus. I've got the overs in the Melbourne Saints game. I've got the overs, Cats, Gold Coast, and Port Adelaide at the plus to round it out.
There we are. Good luck and good punting, folks.